track 11, and we come to letters to the editor, of which there are three this week. The second one of these is from Mike Baldwin, writing on climate change. It's very long, and we have edited that. However, the first letter is read by Jill.
And this letter is written by Alan Rawlins of St Mary Church Road, Newton Abbot, and he writes, "Is St Mary Church Road at the top of Milba the most dangerous road in Devon? Having lived there for some time, I think it may be. To be fair, it's not so much a road, but mostly old farm lanes with space in many places for just one car at a time to pass each other. The speed limit is 60 miles per hour, but many drivers seem to think it's 70 miles per hour, with many going over the limit. Our family have to maintain the verge outside our property. You can imagine the danger we face each time we mow the verge and cut the hedge. There have been numerous accidents resulting in, I believe, more than 25 fatalities over 40 years. The worst accident happened outside our entrance, with a car overtaking another vehicle, hitting the bank and then careering 180 metres down the road, spilling the contents of the car into our drive. The attending police officer estimated that the speed the car was going at was in excess of 90 miles per hour. Most recently, a three-car collision, which took down a telegraph pole, saw the road closed for hours while emergency services attended the scene. According to the Minister of Transport at the time, when I reported this to him, he sympathised with our situation but had no intention of changing the speed limit. I've been campaigning for many years now to get the limit reduced from 60 to at least 30 miles per hour. Speed cameras are often in use at the top end of Aller Park, but it seems there are no concerns about speeding further up the road. The King's Kerswell bypass, a safe two-lane expressway with good visibility, is limited to 50 miles an hour, yet the narrow lanes of St Mary Church Road still permit 60 miles per hour.
Climate change is putting food security at risk. Mike Baldwin of Thorverton writes, "The consultation on the government's proposed land use strategy has recently begun. This will deal with optimising land for infrastructure, biodiversity and food security. Farmers know that food security and their own financial viability is already being increasingly detrimentally affected by climate change. 2 years ago, the NFU reported, climate change is arguably the greatest challenge facing the sustainability and long-term sustainability of global food production and British farmers facing increasingly frequent weather extremes. July 2022 was the driest July in England since 1911, and November 21 to July 22 were the driest since the 70s. There was only a 24% average rainfall in July. The weather has since proved to be even more unpredictable. 2023 was the seventh wettest year on record for the UK in the series from 1836. Five of the 10 wettest years for the UK since 1836 have occurred in the 21st century. The government's 2021 UK Security Food Report stated, climate change poses a risk to UK food production already, and this risk will grow substantially over the next 30 to 60 years. It highlighted the effect of heat stress on livestock due to temperature rise and fungal disease affecting potato cultivation and other crops due to the increase in heat and humidity. With mitigation and adaptation, we can reduce that risk. Farming practices are changing, but our farmers must be reassured that their livelihoods are not on the line. Our own eating habits will have to change, but this could have major health benefits. The most important change is that we must reduce the use of creation of greenhouse gases from fossil fuels with the use of renewables. This too has the benefit of cheaper energy and greater security. It is necessary not just for ourselves, but more importantly, for the sake of our children and grandchildren."
And finally, an interesting letter from Michael Martin, Newton Abbot and District Civic Society Planning Officer. He writes, "It's some 40 years since the statue of the goddess Minerva was taken down from the roof of 2 High Week Street, where it had stood for 2 centuries, and placed in the cellar there prior to being sent away for repair, only to disappear without trace. 2 articles on this case appeared in your paper in 2005. They were read out to members of Newton Abbot District Civic Society at a recent meeting, when it was agreed it was high time for a cold case review. If any of your readers can assist our inquiries, I hope they will contact us. How intriguing.